everyone. That was a lovely video, sir. Being a father, I feel, once I have my boys, my mind seems like always with them, trying to protect them, and I kind of develop an instinct, you know, where something dangerous, you just react to reach out, and I can't really remember, but I probably saved them a couple of times like that situation. And also, I was just, watching that video and also thinking about today's topic. Actually, I was thinking about it being a father. We're going to have another skill, or maybe as a leadership skills, being a man and as a husband, as the head of the household, we need to learn how to lead. And perhaps you guys here, you at the workplace, could be the leader in the workplace, and perhaps elders at the church to lead. So I'm also thinking about leadership at the church and how to lead. I kind of reflect on my own kind of way to lead in the past, in the sense, often we naturally to react. Something dangerous happened, we just kind of reach out to solve the problem. And but life is kind of getting full on, once getting full on, once getting chaotic, you can't always react to fix the problem. One thing I have learned in the past all these years is trying to think first, it's not to fix the problem, rather to think what we want it to go, what do we want to achieve, where's the end point. So from A point to B point, how to get there, how to think about it, lead my family to the next stage of life with options. And we can think through and pray about it, and then ask God for wisdom, then find a good choice to move to the next stage. And I think today's topic about, it is together in hope. I think it's kind of the passage to answer such challenges in your life. How to lead yourself as a Christian. How to lead your family from point A to point B. The reason I say that, I guess, when we talk about a hope, it's futuristic. It's about what you want to head towards. I think probably last week, you must read or preached from the first part of chapter 3. From verse 10 to 11, Paul actually was speaking about his final goal. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I will attend the resurrection from the dead. So Paul actually, he is talking about his endpoint, his ultimate endpoint. He's talking about one day he will be made complete and perfect before the Lord Jesus. That's his goal. That's what he wants to achieve. Even you remember, Paul wrote this letter was in the prison. It's not much he can see. It's not much he could do. But his spiritual life, nothing can stop him to pursue that goal. But also, Paul is fully aware, and he was not perfect. He was not complete yet. And his life is a work in progress. But that comes to the hope here. Today's verse, today's passage, towards the end, I kind of go backwards a bit. And end of this passage, Andrew just read, verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await for a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. So here's the hope he is talking about. Our hope is in heaven. That is where our true home is, our true citizenship, and our true destiny. See, being a follower of Jesus, as we're also together with other believers, we therefore live in the light of Jesus' return. If you remember at the end of the Bible, Revelation 22, Jesus says, "Yes, I am coming back." And we join the church in every generation all over the world crying, "Amen, come, Lord Jesus." See, that's our hope. We long for Jesus' return. And while we're waiting, what are we going to do? We're knowing that this is where we head to eventually. But while we're waiting in this process, what are we going to do? And here there's a good news. Jesus himself prepares us for this heaven world journey. In verse 21, we are told here, this is a journey, this is a process, transforming from a lowly body to a glorious one, just like Jesus. And we also were assured that he has the power to make this happen. And I think this process is called sanctification. It's kind of a big word. It's like a theological word called sanctification. Basically, sanctification is describing this process, this gradual, this lifelong path of becoming more and more like Jesus. See, our citizenship in heaven is secure as soon as we put our trust in Jesus. But it takes time. It takes time to see our actions, our attitude, our mind change to be like Jesus. And also this passage at the end, again, just guaranteed, Jesus has the power to complete this process for us. So now, as I just talk about the end, as a Christian, as a father at home, or as a leader at a church. And now let's think about how to get there. And again, in this passage, Paul gives the answer. The first one, how to prepare ourselves for heaven. The first one is from verse 13. "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead." And here Paul is telling the believers in Philippi, don't stand on your past triumphs. You need to move forward. You need to move forward for the upcoming glories. That's why he's saying, straining toward what is ahead. Why does he say that? I don't know if you have heard that saying, the good is the enemy of the best. The good is the enemy best. Perhaps that's why Paul wanted to tell us in this way. You know, we as Christians and as we pursue Jesus, I think Paul here is to encourage us, we do need some self-awareness about your current spiritual life as an individual, where you are in terms of your relationship with Jesus and your knowledge of God and the depths of your understanding, how Jesus saves you and transforming you. And also as a church. And perhaps while we, at this point of the time, Macquarie Chapel, and it could be at a turning point, and we're looking into the future, what's in the past could be a great asset. You know, what we have build up this community, the relationships we have amongst the families, and our spiritual gifts in terms of leading people worshipping God. But here, Paul actually kind of a warning or challenge us not dwell in the past. Think ahead. Well, maybe you're saying, oh yeah, it's all easy, we're just waiting for heaven to come. But maybe we should think in a bit of more detailed way. Ask God for a vision, a tangible vision for Macquarie Chapel to head towards as we're on the journey towards heaven. Why God put us here, 2018, at this location? Why God have brought people into this community? What kind of tasks God has given to us in terms of bringing the gospel forward to reach out? So I think perhaps this is the challenge God give us today to read this passage. You know, Paul was saying, straining towards what is ahead. What is our vision? What is the next point B we want to go? So as a community of believers, let us challenge each other. It is important to individually see ourselves as a sinner. We're not perfect yet, and we want to draw ourselves closer to Jesus. And also as a church, let's humble ourselves. See how can we seek God's direction to bring the people together and forward. And perhaps that's the idea of together in hope. And again, the assurance is, God doesn't really just leave us alone to do all these. And as I mentioned just then, in verse 21, Jesus prepares us for this heavenward journey. So we are told this is a process transforming from a lowly body to a glorious one. And you know what? As a whole church, like if we once like we taste the goodness of heaven, we want to share, right? That's our motivation. And now we know actually Jesus prepares us and gives us the burden and also gives us the motivation to do this job. And then, continue verse 15 to 16. Paul actually continued to challenge us. If you read 15 to 16, let me just read it again. This is a very profound two verses. All of us then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attended. So I just talk about this is a process, right? And Paul challenged us. And how do you move forward? And here Paul is very pastoral. And he knew among the Philippian believers, that there are some leaders, there are perhaps some believers, they don't believe what he says. And he gently rebuked them. What here he says, he just implied some people actually didn't, they think they're mature enough, but they don't believe what Paul says. Paul actually is saying, in verse 15-16, he is saying, you aren't mature. He actually has challenged them, and you should be more teachable. And in that way, once you humbled yourself, God will show you where you need to grow, where you need to move into. So here, likewise, I like to use this opportunity as we read these words together to challenge each other. And how's your devotional life? How do you spend your time with God? And when you spend your time with God, have you ever challenged yourself in the past 2 or 3 years? Or perhaps if you believe in Jesus for a long, long time, 20, 30, 40 years, and look back, perhaps we should ask ourselves, have I grown in my knowledge of God and my relationship with Jesus. In 1 Timothy 4:15, Paul says, "Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress." So this is what Paul taught Timothy, and I believe this is what Paul wants to teach us. Deepen our knowledge of God. And every time, perhaps a practical way, you open up the Bible and this passage, perhaps, oh yeah, I'm familiar with that. Instead of just, you know, flip over to the next page, let's meditate on these words. Dig deeper. So in that way, continue to build your relationship with Jesus. And perhaps in your life there are sufferings. And this perhaps is the best opportunity as you journey with Jesus in His suffering to understand more about God's purpose of salvation and as well as transformation. So be willing to surrender yourself, to name the sins you have in your life, and no excuse. Rebuke yourself. That's how we walk our journey towards holiness. So this, I think, is what Paul wanted to challenge us. Together in hope, in the sense, is to pursue Jesus, because only hope is from Jesus. And do not stand on your past achievement, your past glory. Press on towards the goal to win the prize. And sadly, in today's church life, not all believers, not even all Christian leaders are continuing to grow spiritually. So what do we do? So here is the second advice or second challenge from Paul. Verse 17. Join together in following my example. Keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Basically, Paul is talking about modeling. You need to find someone to disciple you. The discipleship in any local churches are very important. To imitate those who imitate Jesus. That's what Paul is telling us. And we all know Christian lifestyles are more easily caught than taught. I remember my early years of Christian life. I was glad, like in my first church, those mature Christians adopted me. At that time I was single. I was new to my faith. And they opened up their lives. They welcomed me and showed me how they live, showed me how they relate as husbands, wives, and showed me how they to raise their children. So these are the role models for me, and I'm eternally grateful that I had that opportunity. And here, also, I think this is why Paul is commanding the Philippians to look around them for these models. And of course, Paul actually knows not everyone around you are good models. And in reality, this is true. In today's churches, and there are leaders that are ungodly, and Paul wants to warn us. So that's why in verse 18 and 19, Paul says, "For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things." So Paul is reminding us, as we look for godly models, and we need to be discerning those who claim themselves as Christian leaders, but actually they're not. But how do we know? Well, perhaps those leaders, as they preach, as they talk in front of people, they use right vocabularies, and sometimes you probably see those popular leaders, a lot of people supporting them, following them. But here, Paul warns us, one thing missing from these people's life is their focus on the cross. You see, the beginning I was mentioning verse 10 to 11, right? And Paul wants to be more, to know more, both of the power of Christ's resurrection and of the fellowship of sharing his suffering, becoming like him in his death. See, that's Paul's focus. And he's saying these false models, false leaders, they aren't like that. What they love is comfort. They want to please themselves. The kind of thing they really value are actually shameful. And he summarized, their mind is set on earthly things. You know, perhaps can think about those leaders. You know, unfortunately, we do have those leaders in the recent church histories. You know, like, in America, we have heard people like Mark Driscoll, or even Uri Creek for all these years, the famous Bill Hybel. I don't know, I'm not in a position to judge them, but perhaps some lessons we can learn. You know, when the leaders, their focus is on their fame, on their popularity, on their own gifts, you know. And by doing so, actually shift their focus away from the cross. And here, Paul wants us to seek those models. Only have the focus on the cross. That's the Christian role models we want to seek, to go after. So who shall we emulate then? Here from this passage, we think someone who put others' interests first, just like Jesus does. Someone who has proven himself or herself in hardship. Someone who does not promote themselves. Someone who has confidence, not in himself or herself, but in Christ. Someone who are continuing to grow spiritually. Not those who are stagnating in, or even stuck in their past. Or someone whose mind isn't on earthly things, but eagerly waits for Christ's return. So, dear brothers and sisters, I believe this is where we wanted to see the picture. Together in hope. The dynamic of a Christ-centered community. As families of God's children gather together, as we longing for Christ's return, as we wanted to get to our destiny, we want to look for godly models, Christ-focused models. And also at the same time, encourage each other. Do not dwell in your past achievements, in your past glory. Press on. Press on forward to continue pursue Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you with thanksgiving. We know Jesus conquered all. And also Jesus' promise to carry us into the eternal, into the eternity. And he, all things in his control. And he has the power to deliver. As we sing for people, we pray that we'll continue to be humbled. We continue to rely on your words, not our own human wisdoms. so we can pursue you in your way, so in that way to please you, to continue to pursue the holy life. God, we ask for the Holy Spirit to work in this way in our hearts and among this community. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.